What's that?
That's it.
That's it. I was waiting on you.
Because when your can cracked all loud and satisfying, and mine was all like a wet fart.
I was closer to the microphone.
Yeah, mine just didn't have sound to it, and I was going to say maybe that's because this beer has been in my fridge for 2 years and it's lost its.
Oomph. It might be flat. It might be bad. Yeah. I don't know.
It might be a flat
beer. Yeah. Well, with that note, starting the show, welcome to this week's edition of the Sunday Stew Pot. I am Lou Marconi, aka Beef Stew Lou Marconi. Along with me is Corey Castle from Evolving with Corey Castle. It's good to see you, man.
Cornelius Castle here, everybody. Cornelius. Pleased to be somebody who you're investing some of your time and effort into. I'm happy and grateful.
I'm going to do a quick check here. I'm going to do this before I talk about anything else. People are watching. We're getting some views. People are checking it out, promoting it. We tape these ahead of time because we don't tape them on Sundays, but I'm going to take a quick look at the page and I'm going to let you know that, let's see here. Come on. Here we go. Got to use my face ID before I sign in. Let's see what the last episode about 22. All right. 22. And it's Thursday night that we're doing this. So that's not too bad. I'm glad people are checking it out and no comments. We're not getting comments, but people are checking it out, which is good. We barely promote it. We do this. It's on a single stream. Right. It's on a single platform as well.
Yeah. It doesn't exist anywhere else but on Rumble. So anybody who's given us any minutes of your time, moments of your time, I don't really know the analytics of Rumble. I don't know how that works. I don't know what counts as a full view. Like if you have to watch the whole entire thing to have it count as a view, I don't know how that works. I know that it's like confusing verbiage with how YouTube does it. And I know YouTube is like the enemy of Rumble, right?
I would say the enemy.
YouTube and Rumble. Rumble's like, F you, YouTube.
Pretty much, because YouTube's very, very censoring on what they do. That's why, well, we came here, we could talk about what we want, how we want, and nobody's going to censor. And if you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. You don't agree with it, you don't have to. That's fine. I mean, you and I don't agree on everything, which is that's the point of all this. Why else bother sitting down and having discussions? It'd be a very boring show if we just agreed on everything. But I think the first thing I want to talk about was I was getting some very interesting reactions to things on Facebook, and I'm going to pull them up here on my phone and I'm going to read it. I'm going to read what I did and please, I'm going to read the reactions. And let me just like a friend's picture real quick. Natalie, she's really cool. She's a friend from the gym. And I was able to actually, while I'm doing this, I was able to actually lift some weights this week. Nice. Going light this week, going light next week, and I'll be ready to go full go. I'm not in the shape, nowhere near where I want to be.
Super pleased to hear that. I'm really happy about that.
Oh, I'm happy too. It's just getting just starting to get in your groove. It's gonna be how Beef Stew got his groove back. So
when I was going through that and starting to recover from my surgery, I had I had just bought the album Wasting Light by Foo Fighters. Yeah, and one of the big hits on that album was the song Walk. Have you ever heard that song by Foo Fighters? It's like learning to walk again. I believe I waited long enough. It's a perfect song for recovering from a surgery for sure.
Yeah, let's start with, let me see. Yes, this is it. It was a meme. We'll start with that. It's a picture of a guy and it looks like about a 15-year-old daughter. Okay. A man followed a girl into the bathroom stating he identified as a woman. The man's teeth were knocked out by the girl's father who identifies as the tooth fairy. That's what it said. Oh boy. A lot of people were, I got a bunch
that's
of just, likes.
That,
got
over, that tire, dude. That's just,
it's got over, 50 likes. Okay. Mm-hmm. People are like, yeah. High five. And that's hilarious. That's awesome. And then one person, and I'm going to say their name, because if you put it on Facebook,
it's always got to be somebody who's,
you could have just kept scrolling and ignored it. Yeah, this person named Evie Khan, I know her. from the past. I know who she is. It's fine. Mm-hmm. That's who it was. That's her name on Facebook. And you could talk to her if you want to. It's fine. He goes, violence is never the answer, is what she said. Mm-hmm. My response, Evie Cohn, because you get tagged him when you reply to that. When it comes to protecting my daughters from perverts, violence is 100% the right answer.
I mean, also, it was a made up story. The dad doesn't identify as the tooth fairy. No, dad punched some woman in the face.
Right.
Knocked all her teeth. Like, it didn't happen. It was all made up. So of course, violence wasn't the answer because there was no actual question.
But wait, there's more. I'm speaking in hyperbole too. Okay, right. When I about my daughters, okay, because mm-hmm. I would do something about it if I saw them. Like, no, dude, you're not going in there. My daughters are in there.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let it happen. Then her response to that was, "Tell that to the mothers of Emmett Till and Matthew Shepard." Their killers had the same mindset. You know who Emmett Till was?
No, I have no idea.
Emmett Till was a guy that was lynched in Mississippi in the 1950s, and he was accused of whistling at a white woman.
Okay. So she's saying violence against anyone
is the same as Emmett Till.
Is the same. It doesn't. If we're all accepting, we're all loving and all of this, and it's all the joke. None of these are real people. Like,
right.
Bill and Ted didn't travel through time. That was a set. That was made up. There was no, like, it was. So I feel like my friend Chris Cotton, he used to do this bit on stage where he would say, Delaware is the first state. You know how some people only got one thing to brag about and they brag about it forever?
That's true. Oh, I'm not done. There's more to this. Let me read the rest. Then after that, my response was, Evie Cohn, absolutely. And I will tell anyone with predatory behavior towards my daughters, don't try to make this, you know, I'll say that to anyone with predatory behaviors towards my daughters. That's a warning. You're not going to get away with it. Don't try to make this a racial or civil rights issue because it's not. Emmett Till and Matthew Shepard didn't follow underage girls into the ladies' room. That's not what they did.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. I know you're going to.
No. I got plenty of these. Go ahead.
But I was trying to say, it's not that. I never looked at it this way. I never saw it this way before because I don't have kids. I'm pretty like removed from it. So I'm not as close to an issue like that. But I think what the idea that scares people about somebody wearing a dress and going in and being a creep doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a trans person wearing a dress. It can just be weirdos and like perverts who see that.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about trans. Can get away. I never said the word trans. I just said, hey, no, I'm not going to let somebody go in there and do that. No.
Right.
Okay. So
it's like creep phobic more than it's transphobic.
All right. And her response was, but they were brutally murdered because they were perceived to have the predatory mindset by the people who murdered them. Just because you perceive something doesn't make it. So trans individuals are not perverts. Check your priests, scout leaders, teachers, and neighbors first. She's accusing my neighbors, teachers, scout leaders. And I said, and my response was, okay, now she's, because that's pretty much ad hominem at that point. That's what she's doing. Mm-hmm. I said, Evie Cohn, so you support a grown man in a dress sharing spaces that are designated to protect women? That was a question. These are designated spaces for a very long time, put it there for the protection of women.
Yeah, and they got couches in their bathrooms, man. Oh, lucky. Well,
they're clean. They have doors. They have doors on the stalls. God, we're horrible. We got the worst.
I mean, I guess I could put a dress on. I got pretty hair.
Yeah. Well, there was one. After I responded to that, she goes, Lou Marconi, I support trans individuals. I just let it go. Mm-hmm. At that point, I didn't respond because there's nothing to say. There's nothing to say because I'm never going to convince her otherwise. But that was one interaction. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even a funny one. She was actually coherent. center point. There's another one where I posted a video. And I got two more of these. Just so you know, I'm going to read it to you. This guy was just a jerk. Where's that video? Hold on. It was a video. I don't know if I should play it or not. Or it was basically a guy going on a rant. Yeah. He goes, like, he basically was saying, if you want to be transgender, it's okay. But just why are you shoving this down our throats? Why are you getting kids involved? Leave the children alone. That's pretty much what he was saying. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I don't have the volume up on this. A guy named Justin Tippin said, there are plenty of drag women shows. However, we live in America, and in America, sensationalism sells better than sports or politics. Maybe, just maybe, a part of society that has existed since the beginning of written time has found a large level of societal acceptance, and that scares some of and allows those of factual fault of grooming and pedophilia the ability to project fault away from themselves. So he's basically calling me one. He's saying I'm projecting. Where there's more. Funny, when you look into the individual's faith, but the faults of it are infallible. It's a larger world than this man lives in. He's basically calling you like, all right.
Does this person know you?
No, I don't know who he is.
How did he just follow you? He just follows me.
He could be a fan. He could be, but he was saying, yeah, pedophilia did exist back in ancient times. It was considered socially acceptable and legal. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it something. And my response was, Justin Tippin, pedophilia is repugnant in any form or faith. Being a father of two daughters, I will fight like hell to protect children. Have all the drag shows you want. Just leave children out of it. It's not that hard. And that's all I said. A guy named Ed Samick liked it. I said, hey, you can have all the drag shows you want. Why do you have to do it in front of children? Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. Okay. And then next. All right. Justin Tippin, Lou Marconi, but the factual evidence of persuasion lies elsewhere. Why attribute it then? Seem driven and fault is never driven by evident, but an evident. That's what it says. I'm just reading it verbatim.
It's a word salad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said, Justin Tippin, your word salads and double talk does not make it right. Mm-hmm. And he says, this is sorry, but I haven't contradicted myself. No double talk, just a perceptive look to his words. And factual evidence and his biased opinion are at odds of culpability. Sorry, but that is the English language, not grammar. Americans should understand basic word association, comprehension. Then again, it is Ohio, and ranking in the bottom 50 might be apparent. Which that's not true. I graduated from high school in Ohio in 1991. And I'm thinking we were somewhere in the mid-level. I'm not saying we're the smartest. I'm not saying we're the dumbest. We're no Mississippi, Alabama, or Arkansas. All right. But I said, this is what I did. I said, Justin Tippin, yes, I'm from Ohio. And yet we can easily understand that children are not capable of consenting to sex with an adult or consenting to having their genitals mutilated.
But it's also got to be confusing. I know when I was a kid, I have to say this. I know I've probably told you this a million times, but I was raised by a single mom who's a lesbian. So
okay,
so
she's a sweet lady. Right.
My mom had friends.
So what?
Who were in the trans community, and it confused the hell out of me when I was a little kid.
You can't really wrap your head around it as a child. It's confusing.
Like, you're just understanding that boys have a penis and girls have a vagina. Like, you're just understanding why you have what you have, and now you're seeing a man who's sometimes stuff like you can see that he has a beard, or you can see, like, it's just confusing for kids. Not to say that, like, I'm concerned about them being creeped on by people. I'm concerned about them being like too confused, like bombarded, because maybe it's something you ease into. And this is something my mom did for me. My mom eased me into understanding some of this stuff.
Well, she probably guided you and talked to you and was open to you about it.
Right.
And
like, she's and a great question. Parent. Like, yeah, be that, a good parent. That's don't that, bring that's your a good kids. Part. Don't bring your kids where a drag show would happen. Like,
would you bring your child to a strip club and put dollar bills in a stripper's garter or panties? A girl?
No, I mean,
much less a guy. I mean, I'm talking about like a gentleman's club. They wouldn't let the child. They wouldn't let an underage child in because they'd get shut down.
To go to some strip clubs, and you got to be 21 to go to others.
Yeah, if it's a juice bar, 18. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you know, Pennsylvania is different, I think, but I know in Ohio that's the way it was. I haven't been to one in a very long time. I don't really care to go to one. So
I hate them. I hate them. I went to a strip club on my 18th birthday, and it was a bunch of my classmates and my trainer, and like my trainer's girlfriend brought me to a strip club on my 18th birthday, and I despised it. I was such an awkward nerdy virgin in this strip club. and the girl, her name was Amy. She was John Dahmer's girlfriend, and she was like, pick one of these girls, any one of these girls, and they'll give you a private couch dance in the back room. And I was like, all right. I couldn't. Like, I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I can't pick out of all. None of these women are doing anything for me at all. And then she just picked one randomly, and
for you, yeah,
yeah, for me, and brought me back in the room and like sat in the room with me while the girl was grinding on me, mm-hmm. And the girl lifted up her dress and stuck her pussy in my face, ugh. And she said. Oh, honey, you never seen a pussy before like that. And I was like, honestly, like in my head, I was like, honestly, no, I have never seen like that. Wow. Was the first one I have ever seen. I was a child. It was.
You're 18. You're very young. Yeah, okay. Let's hold this. Let me finish this. Right. Let me finish this, because I'll tell you about my first time having mm-hmm. sex. I was very young. I think I told you about that. I was 15. I mm-hmm. just turned 15. And I was young and didn't know what the hell I was doing. Mm. And you always think you have these expectations in movies and stuff. No, it's not. That's not reality. Just not necessarily porn, but just in movies in general. But anyway, there's still more. Let me just finish, because when I responded to saying, hey, you know, I basically can't consent to this. A child can't consent to a tattoo. Let's be honest. Children, you know, if you're talking about putting hormones and hormone treatments and doing all this to a kid, hold the phone here. I mean, that's all we're saying is like, wait a second, is this the right mm-hmm. thing to do? Anyway, Justin Tippin, Lou Marconi, should I conclude that you have or are in direct contact with an individual that has regrets going through? Okay. That was a sentence with a question mm-hmm. mark at the end.
Going through.
End your sentences with a preposition.
A tunnel with no light at the end.
Or are you joining a stance? See, if you have are or going through this, you view the told more weight. So, or is just an indoctrinated opinion based on bias deflecting? Like, he's basically trying to accuse me of being transphobic, trying to deflect myself being trans. Mm-hmm. No. Nope, I have a wife and two daughters, and I've been heterosexual my whole life. And are you guys deflecting? The more you know, and he had a rainbow at the end of it. So this is what I did. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the show To Catch a Predator with Chris Hansen?
Yeah.
On NBC? Yeah, mm-hmm. I did a GIF of Chris Hansen. That's what I showed him. And then his response was, he goes, well, that's a no, then I'll take it. That's a no, then I take it. That's just, he got mad because he was trying to, get me angry. He was trying mm-hmm. to poke at me to get me to respond. I'm not a gay. I'm not this. Try to deny it. Oh, you're denying it. He was trying to deflect, you know, seeing I'm deflecting. Then it was my neighbor, mm-hmm. Elaine Lupo Turner, that asked about the actual drag queen molesting a child, other things happening. And that's, you guys got that right. Totally agree. And I think my response should be there. I did respond to her, but I don't know. That's when I responded with the Loudoun County, Virginia story. Women inmates in California and Oregon are being raped by male prisoners identifying as female and impregnated. There's problems happening. I mean, why would you bring a child to a drag queen show? you know? So let's look at this one. Then there was another one. And this is just a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. I've known him for years. I put a warning. It was a warning sign meme, and it said, staff members are armed and trained. Any attempt to harm children will be met with deadly force. And one guy, Rick Fromet, I know him. I've known him for a long time, said, I'll read it. I'm not going to paraphrase. That will literally do nothing. School shooters know they're going to die. And this happened in my town. Not in Russell Township, but in my school district where my girls go to school at the high school. And I said
that close to you?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, no, let me explain to you what happened. I said a school shooting was stopped by a resource officer at West Geauga High School last month. Let me explain what happened. There was a kid at school with a gun and bullets, and he was planning to do something. One of the bullets was found in the bathroom by a student, and the student reported it to the police resource officer. He said who it was that had the gun and the bullets. That kid was arrested and it was stopped.
Wow.
And I said, because I remember I was at the doctor's office doing my pre-anesthesia checkup before I had the surgery.
The hernia surgery.
Hernia surgery, and my phone rang, and it looked like it was the school's, but it was a recorded automated message telling parents that this happened at the high school. All high school students are being sent home. There'll be no school tomorrow for the whole school district. They shut down. I think the school district handled it perfectly. And the school resource officer did his job. That's my argument towards this. If you have police at schools like this, that'll stop it. He's saying it won't do anything. And he said, yes, thank God, before it was an active shooter situation, no sign will stop it. He's saying the sign won't stop it. Okay, sign doesn't mean anything. That's not going to stop. No. It's like saying gun-free zone. It won't. Yeah. And I said, no sign, but an officer can stop it. That was what I responded to him with.
Hey, you, don't do that. Okay, now you put a sign out already. You just had to, you know, all I had to do this whole time was put a sign out to stop these things.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't work. Like saying no smoking, and there's somebody out there smoking a cigarette. so that was Rick Fromet. Yeah, that was Rick Fromet. And I could have swore I responded to the drag queen show. But so honestly, you could disagree. But there's priests and pedophile priests. Yeah, there were pedophile priests, and the church covered it up. And you know what? Those priests, there's pedophile priests that went to jail for it.
Yeah,
absolutely. They're wrong. Drag shows for kids is wrong. Two things can be wrong at once. And guess what? I'm putting my fingers here. Two, three things can be wrong at once. Four things can be wrong at once. Five, all of them. A lot of things can be wrong at once. I am going to sit here and tell you, if you are defending grown men in dresses performing sexual provocative shows for children, you need to get your head examined. You're wrong. It's sick.
It is
absolutely sick. It's disgusting. And if you want to argue with me on Facebook, go right ahead. And you got these guys that are trying to tell me that I'm projecting. No,
it's kind of grooming these kids for sexualization too soon. And
like, there's parents that take their kids to these. Go ahead.
Some of these drag queens are sexy as hell. I'm a fan of drag queens. I watched RuPaul's Drag Race.
You can watch it.
I get
you're a grown adult. It's just, if you want to do it for entertainment, that's fine. But like, I don't.
Like,
I don't.
For me, and I see them, I'm like, oh man, this has turned me on a little bit. They're hot. They look good. I really love them. Go ahead.
I don't know if I'd go that far for me.
I'm fine for you to kind of separate yourself from that. Cause like I'm a little bit of a weirdo. I mean,
No. There's some people that get into certain things sexually. Yeah. There's some people get turned on by certain things. I have my type of woman that I like that I'm attracted to, dark hair, brown eyes. People will tell you any girl, most girl. What?
That's what I have.
Yeah, that's what you had. That's what I had. If you've seen pictures of my wife, I don't think you've met my wife.
Yeah. No,
we never met in person with my wife, but she's biracial. Dark, very dark hair, black hair, brown eyes, very dark skin. Her dad's black and her mom's white. Seriously.
Yeah.
My daughters are one quarter black. So it's just kind of like, She looks very exotic. People think she's Puerto Rican, but she's not. Mm-hmm. They go up to her and speak Spanish. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. They don't. But people have things they like. But if you're a grown consenting adult and you're into something, and just grown consenting adult in the privacy of your own bedroom or your life, that's fine. I'm not telling you not to do it.
All right.
I might say, hey, you know, getting into weird fetish stuff. I don't know. It might lead down a path to other things. Or like if you're addicted to pornography and you're masturbating to it constantly, you might need to back off because you're not going to have a normal sex life.
Right.
I'm not a psychologist, but I don't play one on TV, but I could just tell you, you know, if you're young, especially if you're underaged and you've never had really experienced sex in your life and you see that on the internet,
your expectations are way too high. Like I know like when I was a kid, like I would see porn at one of my friends' houses. It would be on a tape. It's not like something I'd take home and jerk to, because like it was theirs. It was at their, like,
you couldn't do it there. You'd be ostracized if you started to do that. Yeah,
they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have little porn machines. Like they have now.
Well, you had VHS tapes, you watched it, right. You had magazines, stuff like that.
So like it gave me the opportunity, and I'm so thankful for the time that I came along in this world. I'm so thankful for where I came along in this world. I've been so blessed, and I'm so lucky. And I have to say that as often as possible, but like when I finally started dating women and stuff, I didn't have an unrealistic expectation of what it was really going to be like to move things to the next level.
Well, when I lost my virginity at 15, the one thing that threw me off a little bit, but it didn't stop me or slow me down that much, was it's silly, it's stupid. Her bra and panties were two different colors.
That is silly and stupid. Yeah.
But that threw me off. I'm like, oh, that happens? Because every time it was dumb. It was just like, it's just silly. It's just like, oh, okay.
Sorry, this doesn't usually happen, but I've gone soft.
Yeah, no. Nothing. I was a 15-year-old boy about to get some. I was hard as a rock, man. That wasn't going to stop me. I gave that 18-year-old girl the best 30 seconds of her life. And I hope she hears this.
Every boner has been chasing the dragon since then. It'll never be as hard as it was that day.
No. Chasing the dragon. That's what it is. Well, no, sir. I like that. I like that. It was so funny because the thing was, there was a courtship involved with it, and we knew each other. Mm-hmm. And not really the courtship, but it was a friendship, and we knew each other, and we just sat there. And all I remember is I had chewing tobacco in my mouth. That's how much I must have turned around. I was spitting in a cup. And we're just at her house. We're just chilling out and talking. And she goes, hey, if anything happened here, would you tell anybody? I'm not stupid. I'm like, oh, no, never. I wouldn't say anything. Why? What's going on? She goes, well, I'm in the mood. What do you think? And I said, well, let me spit this out of my mouth and wash out my mouth. And she said, go ahead. Bathroom's right there. And I said, let me use the bathroom and everything. And I remember looking at myself in the bathroom mirror going, do not fuck this up. Do not fuck this up. I'm like, I'm about to be a man. And I was instantly, as soon as she said that, I'm like, oh, this is for real. And I remember like, oh, this is going to happen. And it happened. And I had no idea why she might have, you know, I was, but then again, we didn't talk about it till like a couple of days later that I said, you know, I'm 15, right? And you're 18. She's like, oh shit. I said, don't worry, I won't say anything. She said, please don't. She said, yeah.
When I was 15.
Go ahead. She was going into the Navy. She graduated and she was going into the Navy, and I was about to go into my sophomore year in high school. So that was it. So that was that. It's the summer of 88. I hope you're listening, Mom. But hey, no, I mean, it's just, it happened. And I thought everybody could see through me after that, but go ahead. And, but I'm like, I think we're going to talk about the beer stuff and the Target stuff too, but go ahead.
Oh yeah. When I was 15, I was making out with a 19-year-old girl a bunch, but nothing ever led to anything.
I was too young. I look back on it. I was too young. I was way too young. I should have been at least maybe 17 or 18. maybe, but you know what? You know, by the time I graduated from high school, I might've had sex twice. I did it one more time just before my senior year. And then there was another time, it was in like 93, but then once I turned 21 and I was on the road wrestling, I got laid a lot. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it just happened. And a lot of it had to do with being a wrestler, being athletic, being young.
Well, you know. I had my first wrestling match. I was Corey Castle, like in the ring. And I made my debut the month before I lost my virginity. Good because man. because I was on shows and I had confidence now. Like, it was like I was a student for so long and like nobody believed that I was actually doing it, you know?
Yeah.
There was no proof of it. And then now there's these pictures in this video and I'm a big shot. And then I don't think I've ever gone too long without getting laid since then. Like, so I don't know how I did it back then.
Yeah. Masturbate.
So I think I started it right at exactly the right age because like
you were about 18, 19. How old?
Yeah. I was 18. Yeah.
Okay. That's a good age. That's a good age. Yeah. I was too young and maybe it's just like, and the sad part was, you know, anyway, I'm not going to dwell on it. The interesting thing was you want to talk about two polar opposite was I tell you about the girl and I bring her up a lot because she impacted my life a lot was the girl from Mexico. Mm-hmm. Our first date, we were talking to each other and she told me at the second date that she was separated. And she told me, she said she's only been with one person her whole life and it was a person she married. Mm-hmm. And she asked me what my body count was and her jaw dropped. She's like, oh, but you're a guy though. It was like triple digits. I'm sorry.
It's so double standard on women like that. Like, oh, but you're a guy. Like,
yeah, and no, like, and that's and no, no, and that's
like, it's bad on
it
men.
Is a double standard.
The fact that men have made women feel that they've got to feel that way about themselves.
It's affected other relationships I had. That's why what I did when I met my wife, when things were going well, and I thought this had some potential to it. I said, let me just get this conversation out of the way now. I just want to tell you about this. I'm not doing this to scare you. I'm not doing this to deter you. I just want to be honest with you. I don't want you to think I hid anything from you. I just want to just, mm-hmm. let's just rip off this Band-Aid and talk. And she was like, what's wrong? Oh my God. Like she didn't know what I was going to say. I said, here, I have a past. When I was wrestling, I was young and I was in my 20s. I got laid a lot. Mm-hmm. This is my number. This is my body count. Triple digits. Sorry. Here it is. I don't have Ric Flair numbers, but I was up there and I never made anybody do anything they didn't want to do. I wore rubber a lot. Not every time. I can't say it was every time, but I did a lot. And she paused. She thought, and she goes, have you been tested? Because we've had sex at this point. I should have told her maybe before we had sex, but I said, yeah, I've been tested. I was tested twice, negative both times. And I'm perfectly healthy and I'm fine. She's like, okay. I said, you're cool. I said, I don't brag about it. I don't talk about it. I even told her, I said, back then, I didn't realize it then, but I wasn't happy. I didn't feel good the next day. Mm-hmm. You're not happy with yourself. I'm happier, more sexually satisfied now as a married man with two kids, you know, having the domestic life, the suburbs and everything else, you know, being with one woman, being a father. Just the whole thing is like a package. It's just like it feels good.
Yeah, reprioritized, the main reasons what the catalysts were for your steps in the right direction.
Right, and the thing I'm going to say this too is that this is the honest to God's truth. Anybody tells you that sex is important in a marriage is full of shit. And I don't like to say that it's just necessarily sex or in a relationship. It's intimacy is what it is. Cause you need that intimacy. You need to share yourself with each other. And that's what it is. And that's what sex really is. It's a beautiful thing between two people that love each other or care about each other. And that's what it should be. And yeah, because I could see something on TV, or we all see these women that we're attracted to. And we're like, whoa, all right. But that's about as far as it's going to go. Because like, right. Yeah, really? Like Alyssa Milano's going to knock on my front door, you know, like the old days of Charmed. You know what I mean? Or somebody like that, you know, or somebody like that, you know, Jessica Alba or whatever. Yeah.
Well, Alyssa Milano, speaking of her, that my girlfriend is actually named after her. Her parents named her Alyssa after Alyssa Milano.
That's awesome. But she bears a little bit of resemblance, similar dark hair, brown eyes. Yeah,
I have to say, man, and this is gonna come off crazy. And after we're talking about all this other stuff that has nothing to do with this, but in my relationship that I'm in now, dude, I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm most in love.
Good.
I've ever been.
Good.
I love this person, and I can't.
And yeah. Yeah, and that's great.
And I've never felt so seen and loved and heard and understood and like supported. And I've never wanted to give somebody else that back as much as I do
and you
right
know,
now.
And you know what? If there's somebody out there listening to this and you are feeling that same way, and it's somebody you're with that might be the same gender as you, that's fine. I'm not bashing homosexuality. I'm not bashing this. I'm just saying.
Oh, dude, I would kill to be gay sometimes. Like, like chicks are such a pain in the ass. Chicks are such a pain in the ass. No, aren't? I made me sound like such a chauvinist to say that. But women.
It reminds me of the South Park I saw last night, where the Cartman's girlfriend couldn't get ready for her life depended on it. She kept, let me do this. They're like waiting to go out. It was just funny. It was just I was laughing. It's just taking it to. But it just triggered that memory. Mm-hmm. But and like I said, if you feel that, you then love, like I say, love is love. You know, if you're two grown consenting adults, hey, have at it, be happy. I'm fine with it.
What were we just talking about?
Anyway, well, we were talking about, you're talking about being happy with Alyssa, and that's great. And I'm happy for you. I'm happy with Christine. I'm happy with my marriage. I think things happen for a reason.
I was trying to CYA on the saying chicks are a pain in the ass. That was all fun. We're all having fun. I'm somebody who was raised by a mother with two sisters and a gay brother all in one house. So I'm
a lot of gay people.
I'm sensitive as shit, man. My Alyssa, who we were just talking about, her sister is as trans. Trans girl. She's one of my favorite. I love her, man. Like, she's like family to me. I don't have anything like.
And how old is this person? How old is this trans person? 20s.
She's about to turn 21. Yeah, she's
okay.
She's young.
See, okay, that's an adult.
Mm-hmm.
That's an adult. If that's their decision as an adult. There's certain things that in Ohio, just so you know, when I had my vasectomy about almost 6 years ago in Ohio, they will not let you get a vasectomy or have your tubes tied if you're under the age of 30 at that time, because they just won't. But I said, my response was, I go, what about my body, my choice? And they just kind of shrugged their shoulders, said, we don't make the laws. We're just following them. It's like, good point. Yeah. That's true. But I just thought that was interesting.
Somebody else came up with the rules and we're just following them.
I was 44. Yeah, I was 44 when I had my vasectomy. And
how old do they say you have? What's the minimum age to get a vasectomy?
30.
Okay.
Because they'll have young men come in at 25, 20, and they're like, we're not doing it. Mm-hmm. Because they're not always reversible.
You might change your mind. Yeah.
You might change your mind. And
you're young enough that you might still change your mind. So.
And I told the doctor, I said, look, we just had two daughters. We just had our second child. We don't want any more. Mm-hmm. And she went, okay, no problem. She said, right, but you know, yeah.
You're an old dad wants to shoot some blanks. Let him have it.
Oh yeah, I did. It was funny when I had the surgery done, because you're basically laying on this operating table. They numb it, like they use Novocaine on your testicles. Mm-hmm. And I'm laying there, and I'm just laying there, and I'm naked from the waist down, shaved. I had a t-shirt on, and doctor walks in, and he looks, and he goes, so we're doing a vasectomy? And I said, well, if it were anything else, this would be really awkward.
And I wonder how many. I wonder how many other people have the wit,
the sense of humor. He laughed
when he makes that joke when he walks in every time.
And, yeah,
and I bet everybody else is like, yeah, of course we are. Come on.
Well, no, but it was hilarious because the whole time we were talking about Game of Thrones, because I started asking him, like, what's a eunuch? What's this? A eunuch is actually removing the testicles, but the penis stays. I'm like, oh, the Army of the Unsullied in Game of Thrones. And we talked about that. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense to me. You know, we were just shooting the shit. And he's done surgeries removing a penis. And I said, well, how do you urinate? He goes, oh, there's a tube. You squat down and there's a tube that releases the urine. I'm like, oh. That would suck, not having a penis. I can imagine losing testicles, but not having a penis. Like, oh, that would I do on my free time? You know,
me and my older sister are only 1 year apart, and I remember whenever we'd get into fights, I'd be like, at least I don't have to pee sitting down. Like that would be. I used to say that, and me and my brother would say that to my sister all the time. Like, you gotta fucking sit down to pee. That sucks.
All right. On that note, we're going to segue in to this is a subject you wanted to talk about. And yeah. I guess there's two major boycotts that have been effective. Okay. One was a Bud Light boycott, and I'll tell you why it was affected and what it was about. Another one that I heard about that's been this last week, that Target has basically lost $9 billion. I've heard that. It was on Timcast that reported it, plus a couple other ones. They basically Target went into panic mode about what happened. Let's start with the Bud Light back in April. No, it's actually March. This happened in March. The trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney got a can with his face on it. Hang on, let me get this here. Mm-hmm. You gotta remember, it's like I'm in a mirror. This is a Mick Ultra can that I've been drinking from. It's still Anheuser-Busch, so it's the same company. Mm-hmm. He had a commemorative can for being 365 days a woman. As identifying as a woman, but he's saying it's his womanhood, which I don't think he's really trans. I think he's a person that took it as an opportunity to make money and grift people. Mm-hmm. Fine. I mean, I don't think he is. I just think it's just,
charlatan.
He's just a guy that's grifting, but people were like, hey, what the hell is this? What's going on? Cause it has something to do with, he started sounding like a stupid woman not know anything about sports and March Madness. It has something to do with sports. Like, I mean, you're being, have a Bud Light. I'm mad. Thank you, Bud Light, all this stuff. Well, people, Bud Light is not really it's an affordable working class blue collar guy type of beer. They had fun commercials for the longest time. Like, I love you, man. You know, all that other stuff. Like, yes. I mean, there's all these like real men of genius. They had all this stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had some good commercials. They had some fun commercials. Drank it when I never really went out and bought it. It wasn't my type of beer. I was usually pretty Mick Ultra Miller like type of guy. My wife likes the IPA. She's more of a beer snob than I am, but I think what it was is you go to any supermarket. Well, in Pennsylvania, you guys do beer distributors or any place that sells beer. You walk in, you can easily make a different decision. You can easily pick something else. And that's why it worked. It was like, all right, don't buy it. Plus, no guy. And there's men are like this. This is how men are. They don't want to be perceived as homosexual when they're not. That's what straight men are like. They don't care if somebody else is gay, but they don't want to be perceived as that. And if that's that's a gay beer, they're not going to drink it.
The thing is, man, like, I can understand that all the way because I was just thinking about it the other day and I was like, yeah, when I was younger, me and my friends would all call each other the F word all the time. Like that was something that was like normal and it was kind of busting each other's balls. It was having fun. Like, it wasn't like me going like, you're actually a homosexual person and I don't like you for it. We were just having fun. And like, my actual brother's gay and I shared a bedroom with him. So it's not like I'm actually throwing like gay hate towards my friends, but it was just busting each other's chops.
Right. Well, that this person, when I did the response to Elaine, and we're friends and actually her daughter babysits my kids. So, and I explained something about that. She said, don't conflate drag shows and pedos. Well, Why else would you be doing? I mean, I'm not going to respond to anything now. I'll do it later. Mm-hmm. But it's about that. With like, yeah, you can have a relative that's a groomer. You can have a relative that has something that can be a predator. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because I have to let my daughters know if anything happens. They got to tell us.
Right. Yeah.
And we have to deal with it.
My mom set up secret passwords. So mm-hmm. since like she was on the lookout for my dad, she thought he was going to kidnap us and all that stuff.
Oh, geez. So, yeah.
So when we were kids, if anyone were to have to come pick us up from school or something,
yeah,
we'd have to ask them if they knew the password, because mm-hmm. if they didn't know the password, we weren't going with them. And so like my mom would set up like, hey, if someone picks you up and they say the password is Winnie the Pooh, you can go with them. If you ask them what the password is and they don't say Winnie the Pooh, do not go with them.
Yep.
And I think I was telling you, like I went without a dad till I was 9.
Yeah, you told me that.
Mm-hmm. And like then like now that I had a dad from like 9 to 15, I would rather wish I had a dad than have had that shitty of an experience.
Yeah, I can't tell you because I don't know what it's like to not have a dad. I had one. And I fantasy, didn't always see eye to eye with him. Right.
The reality did not meet the fantasy in my head about what having a dad would be like.
Well, it depends on the dad, too.
No, the guy was a dick. I mean, yeah, he was an abusive asshole, and like he treated people like shit, and he treated my mom like shit, and he mm-hmm. He treated my sister like dog shit, and he gay bashed my brother, and he beat the shit out of me. He called me stupid idiot all the time. Like he came into my life, caused some trauma for me, and then my mom got him out of my life. Like yep. that, I romanticized what having a dad would be like, but it sucked. I thought it was going to be something better. Like I now that I'm thinking about it, I've just been in a pattern since then of shit going real. Me having an idea of what something's going to be like, fully going into it, and then a little while later, it winds up sucking. Like any yeah. job I've ever had has been that way. I've given up one job to go take another job thinking this is going to be everything I always wanted. This is going to solve all my problems. And it never has. Like, mm-hmm. so that started when I didn't know. Like I so just you set had a the breakthrough.
You set expectations in your head and it never.
I romanticized that shit.
Yeah.
All the way back to being 9. Like,
yeah,
it's
tough, man.
I guess my dad was my first big disappointment. Yeah.
Well, I can't speak to everything. I could say is that people are going to disappoint you, but there's also people mm-hmm. that are going to lift you up and love you and take care mm-hmm. of you. Your mom's one of them. So cherish mm-hmm. that. That's what I would tell you.
I wouldn't do anything differently. I love who I am, and I forgive you my dad without my dad ever having to apologize to me. I've forgiven him, and I've had this conversation mm-hmm. with him, and he tells me he respects me for being able to speak my mind on it and like mm-hmm. still love him as my dad, and yeah. like and that's good, but like I guess it was like last year or something. He lives in Texas. He drove to Delaware. To visit his brother who is going through chemo. He's going to die of lung cancer. So he wants to see his brother one last time. So he goes up to Delaware and he says, come up to Delaware and see me, or come down to Delaware and see me. And he was like, see if your brother and sister will come with you. He called me and said that, and we all went down, and our mom came with us, and it's such a different thing because I hadn't seen him since I was 17 or something, maybe. Wow. it's been a long time since I had seen him, but like being face to face with him, man to man, seeing what an idiot he is. Like he just comes off like he's not smart. Like I take all that shit way less personally, and all that weight is lifted. And yep. I'm like, dude, I still love you. I just, we're not the same, and I wouldn't expect us to be.
Right. That's good. So
you're having expectations of you, I learned, is not very good.
Yeah. That's, you could have expectations of a lot of things and a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And it can always not go the way you plan. And that happens. I mean, you gotta remember, I think you have things going for you, a lot of good things going for you. And one of them's Alyssa and the other one's your mom. So that's fantastic. And that's good. No, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm focusing on the positive for you. You notice how I did that?
Yeah.
And let's talk about the Target thing real quick. And then we can talk about movies after that. And then we'll wrap it up.
No.
This is a great show. This is great. I like this conversation.
Yeah. I just had an emotional breakthrough on.
We're doing therapy. Therapy live on the show. Seriously, man. The what happened with Target, I guess they were launching stuff ahead of Pride Month, and they were having some design. I can't remember the name of the designer, but it was like with satanic symbols on it for children's clothes. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And there was other things too, where there's like a onesie for a kid saying queer for a day, or queer, all this other, like all these like you rainbow colors.
Like they don't have onesies that say straight on them. The orientation of this child is going to be.
That's the grooming process. It's like people, I guess, they didn't expect this backlash, but I guess people were making a TikTok saying, parents are like, look at this. This is a satanic symbol on this by this designer. This is this. And I guess enough people complained. People were canceling their Target charge cards. People stopped shopping there. They've had emergency meeting because they panicked because people stopped going there, and they lost $9 billion in 1 week. I guess their stock dropped like 10%, which is like, whoa. I mean, sometimes when you hear like the right wing or conservatives doing boycotts, it doesn't do shit. I guess Disney Plus, you know, something like the NFL, you know, there's only one National Football League. There's only one major pro sports football league. There's only one major pro sport baseball or basketball. They can get away with doing that woke stuff and leveling stuff. That's fine. But, you know, I mean, this one, I think when it comes to, there's plenty of choices to shop for clothes and do your shopping. Target's a nice store. I mean, besides this, but, you know, even my wife's like, I won't go there again. I mean, I've gone to Target. I've shopped at Target. So a lot of people have, but you can go to a Walmart. You could go to other places. There's other places to go. So it's kind of like, I'm waiting for the day when businesses will go back to being apolitical and just run their business and just say, hey, like what Michael Jordan said, Republicans buy shoes too, because he was a Democrat and he donated to Democrat campaigns, but he never went publicly endorsed anybody because he said Republicans buy shoes too. He says, I, this is my way of doing it. And there's some people that criticize him for it still today, but he doesn't get political. Maybe he's just not a political type of guy. I don't know. I don't know him personally.
I think just the dualistic nature of it, like, our stance is a little dualistic. Our stance that we'll take is we'll supply, you demand, we'll supply. Demand and supply. Like, we don't have to cater to people. Not everybody needs to pretend like they've got virtue that they don't actually have.
I think the executives at Target could care less about the gay people, the LGBT, whatever. Mm-hmm. The alphabet mafia, let's just call them that. Those people, I think they could care less. I think they just want to run their business. But they do this because they think it's going to get points for some reason. Right. And that's why.
I go to the Pride Parade with my family every year, right? And they always have some Pride flag, some rainbow flag with some bank sponsor on it. That bank doesn't give a shit about like it's just that it's just sponsored by. We don't actually give one shit about it. It's just like it's gonna earn us earn us cool points and get us over with this community.
That
are going to buy our shit.
Yeah. And there's there's another story too. I don't know if you heard about it, but you're right. You're right. It's just, this is just corporate pandering is what it is. It's corporate pandering.
Yeah.
That's probably, yeah. Yeah. The Los Angeles Dodgers. Have you heard this story? They were hosting a pride night and they thought it was a good idea to bring in drag queen nuns. It's a group that are nuns that do drag queen. And I don't know their exact name. I should do more research and actually have things printed out in front of me or maybe do some Googling here, but I'm not going to.
Don't beat yourself up. Your search history will need to be cleared right after you look that story up.
Well, that was just, I guess what it was is it was Our Lady of the Sinfulness or something like that. They're like these are nuns that do drag queen and they mock the crucifixion of Christ and they mock nuns and they mock the religion. There was some backlash. They disinvited them. The Dodgers did. Well, then they heard it from the other people that the LGBTQ alphabet mafia people. That's what I'm just going to call them, the alphabet mafia from now on. They heard from them. So then they caved to the backlash from them. They brought them back. The Archbishop of San Francisco made a public statement telling him, these people are mocking our religion. They are mocking our beliefs. They are mocking us. They're not just living their lives. They're openly mocking Catholicism and Christianity too, but more specifically Catholicism. And he's saying this should be condemned and this should not be allowed at this. And he basically condemned the Dodgers for it. And it's living your life. Okay. You got that. But why do you have to mock somebody else's religion? You know, why do you, could you imagine if they were Muslims mocking Islam or mocking Judaism?
It wouldn't happen.
Oh, it wouldn't happen. Oh, the Dodgers would run.
It would not happen.
People draw a picture, a cartoon of their prophet in Islam. I'm not going to say his name.
Right.
They flip out. They take their shit real serious, you know? And I'm saying that's that. And these people that are mocking somebody else's religion, it's like, what's wrong with you? Why do you have to need to do that? I mean, if you don't agree with it, fine. You don't have to. Nobody's making you go to mass on Sundays and take communion. You don't have to do it. Nobody's forcing you to do it.
Just to remind myself how grateful I am to have been born where I've been born and be in this country. And
absolutely.
To like be able to discover this, you know, the freedoms that I have.
And they have the freedom to mock a religion. Mm-hmm. They have a freedom to do that. I just like, you know what? I'm not even gonna give you my time. That just as much as the Ku Klux Klan has the freedom with a permit to march in a public square. But you know what? I'm not gonna waste my time on those idiots, those pinheads. I'm not gonna waste my time with cross-dressing nuns. I'm not gonna do it. Or trans queen nuns or something like that. I think even people in the lesbian and the gay people and the ones that are actually like, you know, they might be homosexual or might be a part of that group, but they might hate. They would probably condemn that, saying, look, no, you don't mock somebody's religion like that. So that's my two cents on it.
Hey, Lou, I got a joke for you.
Go ahead.
What do you call a mob of clumsy skinheads?
I don't know what.
The Ku Klux Klan.
Ah, ba-dum-tsh. What was the other one you had? What was the other one you had? You told me before we did the show, the Trump joke.
Oh, I said.
You said it on stage. I want to hear this.
So many years ago, I just started calling him Forrest Trump because he wears a red hat and he just felt like running.
I like that. That was good. Run, Forrest, run. There was one that the one joke this comedian did, and I guess he was being real somber and serious about it. I don't remember his name. I'm sorry, but it was the funniest damn thing. Dave Landau told the story, and I guess he was telling the story about his, he has a son that was dying of cancer, I was about 9 years old. Sad story. And Make-A-Wish called, and they were going to make his wish come true. So they talked to the comedian. They said, well, what does your son want? He said, he wants to see his father feel up Dolly Parton.
I do remember that joke.
I'm like, oh my God.
I heard that.
Even though she's in her 70s, you sure want to do that? I don't care. Bring her here.
Yeah, that's only
two beers in. That's my joke. My Dolly Parton joke. Speaking of that, like with movies that are coming out, I mean, it's like if there's things that you get into and watch. I'm thinking this weekend, you know, with the movies are coming out, I might go see the Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So I'm hearing some good things about it, so I could check it out and let you know what I think. Last night there was a movie on. It was a 1980 film with Christy McNichol and Tatum O'Neill. Have you ever heard of it called Little Darlings?
Mm-mm.
Matt Dillon was in it and Armando Sante. Yeah, it was a bet. These girls were in a summer camp. They were in their teens, about 15 years old. They had a bet on who was going to lose their virginity first.
Mm.
Yeah, that was the bet. It was a wager.
That movie would never get made now.
Uh-uh. That
movie Blockers, did you ever see that with John Cena? Where he
No. I never watched a movie with John Cena, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. Never watched the movie.
That movie is really funny. Please watch it. You'll enjoy it. I'm telling you.
What it was, Matt Dillon was a guy with the boys at the summer camp, and he was closer to Christy McNichol's age, but Armando Sante was a teacher or counselor, and he was obviously older. And Tatum O'Neill pretty much lied saying they had sex. And Christy McNichol, her character, had sex with Matt Dillon. The character did. But she did. The thing was, is this was supposed to be, she really didn't feel right afterwards. Like it wasn't, there was no beginning. There was no courtship. It just kind of just happened. So it was like, it really didn't do anything for her. She was almost ashamed of it. She felt shame. She didn't feel good after doing it. So that's what it was kind of about. And then they actually had to come clean and tell the truth. So, okay, could you imagine today if a 15-year-old girl at a summer camp said a counselor in his 20s had sex with a girl? It would be all over social media and his life would be ruined. Even though he did absolutely nothing.
Not a story that would get made into a film in 2023.
Right.
Not in this climate, sir.
Not today. Like I said, Blazing Saddles would never get made today.
Nope.
You've seen Blazing Saddles?
Oh yeah, of course. So the other night I told Alyssa, I said, did I ever tell you you're my hero? You're the wind beneath my wings. I love it when you blow me. And then I started doing Bette Midler in my head. I started thinking about Bette Midler, and I was just watching Seinfeld the other night on Netflix, Bette Midler was on an episode of Seinfeld, and they had just finished watching the movie Beaches, and they were all crying at the end when that song was playing, I was like, oh, I'm gonna go see if I can watch that movie Beaches because Bette Midler is in my brain. And I sat the other night, the movie's from 1988. I never saw it before, but it's a sad ass movie about, I could see everybody having a real good time watching that film.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll check out Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Maybe I'll talk my wife into it. I was talking about, she kind of shrugged her shoulders. So, all right.
I thought you were like, okay, I'll check out Beaches.
Yeah, I'll check out Beaches. No, I'm not going to watch Beaches. I've seen it. I'm not going to watch a Bette Midler movie for you. Are we going to do that? Did you want to check out a movie and then we come back on it? It's something you've never seen. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
do
you want me to pick one for you? I bet you probably never seen it. All right.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. 1983 Valley Girl.
I've seen
it. Did you ever You seen it with Nick Cage?
Yeah. He was like, oh, okay. You're, I don't know, this movie isn't, but I know your face or something like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, hold on. 3D glasses on. We're going to take a break. You go ahead and talk to the people. I'm going to take a break because I need to use the bathroom. I'm going to stop my cam. I'll be right back.
All right. I think I can single shot this for a sec. And that would be appropriate. Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on Rumble. We appreciate your support. I'm Corey Castle. If this is the first time you're joining us here on the Stew Pot, the Sunday Stew Pot, this is episode 3. We're live right now, but our right now isn't quite the same as your right now when you're hearing this. Does that make sense? Let's back it up. It's not really live. We don't really truly do it on Sunday. Right now, it's currently Thursday. And a lot of podcasts that you listen to, a lot of shows that you listen to that say they're live, truly aren't live. I can sometimes, I was on some call, some like live stream thing, and it was some celebrity motivational speaker guy. He's not a celebrity, but he's like a motivation. He's famous for being a motivational speaker. And he was hosting this, like, he's like, we're live now. Come join us. And then he was like, oh, let's see. Let's read some of the chats.
I'm here, right?
Yeah. It's like,
you're live.
We're live. And he was like, oh, we'll read some of the chats. And then he was like, oh, congratulations, Beth. And like, these are all AI bots. These aren't really people who are live with us. This is an expert production. They're not actually live. Like,
are you talking about the DeSantis launch?
No, I was talking about some motivational speaker who had he went live on his website last week.
All right. Let me
I just want to tell you about this amazing experience and opportunity that we're going to charge you for, but this is free. Right now, we're live right now, and it's free.
But yeah, have you seen Fargo?
With Steve Buscemi?
Yeah.
It was 1994?
96.
96? Yeah, I saw it then, but I mean, I was 12. I saw it when I was 12.
Oh, you betcha. If you want to watch that one, you can, and then I could try to pick up Blockers. I'll have to find it with John Zeno. Blockers?
Yeah.
I'll check it out. I mean, I can't.
And Leslie Bibb, or Leslie Mann, I'm sorry. You know, from like, she was the Hooters girl in Big Daddy, and she's like, oh, we wasted the good surprise on you. That girl from Big Daddy.
Yeah.
She's Judd Apatow's wife. So like, yeah. this is 40 movies. She was in that, and like the 40-year-old virgin. She like drunk drove the PT Cruiser and then threw up on his face.
She was in this. Yeah, this is 40. And there was something else she was in. She was Judd Apatow's wife, but she was playing, the hell is that guy's
Paul
name?
Rudd's wife.
Rudd's wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is knocked up. This is 40. Yeah. Uh-huh. And that whole this is 40 thing. I'm like less than a month away from turning 50, and I'm happier than I was just before I turned 40. Right. And I will say this to people, and if you talk to anybody that's older, they'll tell you, I enjoyed my 40s better than my 30s. I enjoyed my 30s better than my 20s. I am very much looking forward to my 50s. So have at it. You know, it's just, that's what I said. So when you go, I'm turning 40, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Your life's going to be a lot better. Well, my life's better because as the mind matures, you have a better appreciation for life. And I do every day. And I appreciate that all the time. So, okay. So my homework is to watch Blockers and you're going to watch Fargo. Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in 7 months from now, I'm going to be turning 40.
Yes, we'll have a 40th birthday party.
So Lou just said, oh, all these people coming out, blah, 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 I'm turning 40. Shut the fuck up. He was talking right to me.
To me, yes, I was.
You never
said anything negative about turning 40.
I know.
No, I did more in that 10 years from between 40 and 50 than I've done in my entire life. I became a dad twice. I was married 5 days before I turned 40. But okay. I had a successful marriage because it's mm-hmm. going to go on 10 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with my career, I've done what I've done. And with my professional life and wrestling, I had mm-hmm. 3 runs with the NWA national title, 2 runs with the NWA Eastern States belt. So plus I competed as a bodybuilder and won 2 trophies. So, I mean, who's done that after they turn 40? And now that people are like, now what, you know, what am I going to do? Should I go to NASA and be an astronaut?
Freaking killing it, Lou.
Well, I'm just talking about, I don't want to talk about myself and brag.
I know you're not trying to brag, but you're just trying to prove the point that your 40s were better than your 30s and your 50s are going to be better than your 40s. I totally get it.
I got laid just as much in my 40s as I did in my 20s, but it's just with one woman. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot better because it's with the one woman that we really care about each other. It wasn't just, hey, you're a wrestler. Come here. You know, mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Oh, this is happening. Okay. It's nothing like that.
Yeah. But, dude, rats were different back then. Like that whole idea, like I think rats went away in like 2001.
They
right?
Did.
Like they just stopped being a thing. Like, and sometimes when you hear I didn't become Corey Castle until 2002. I was just simple old James, the student. I saw rats at shows all the time. Like when I would go to shows when I was younger.
Yeah. We knew who they were. They kind of, you could kind of sense it, not really smell it, but sense it.
Yeah. And I remember when I was training and I was about to have my first match, some of the students were like, we can't wait to hear the rat pop when you come out. Like the rat pop's going to be huge when you walk out. And it was.
The chick pop, the rat pop,
there aren't chicks at shows anymore. Like there aren't.
No.
It's not for girls anymore. I don't know.
When the speak out movement happened, Cornette made this point saying a lot of times guys back in the day didn't bother the women that were on the shows or in the company because they could go out and get any girl they wanted somewhere else. Why bother them? Right. You know, if Baby Doll was backstage or Missy Hyatt, Baby Doll was Sam Houston's wife at the time. And I think Missy Hyatt was with Eddie Gilbert or she was with, you know, she had relationships with wrestlers. And there you go. Okay. You know, but they're usually with somebody. So why would you try to pull some bullshit with them? But now these guys today, well, I think a lot of time these young men, they don't know what it's like. They're not really raised to be men. How do you say it? You know?
I'm fully with you on that. Yeah. I think honestly, like if you watch wrestling from like your time frame, from like the 90s, if you watch any wrestling on TV from the 90s, every one of those guys, you would be like, oh, I could lose. That guy could beat me in a fight. That guy could beat me in a fight. That guy could beat me in a fight.
Yeah.
Now, would you have that thought about any of the people that you're seeing on TV? Like, would you see Mustafa Ali and be like, oh, that guy could beat me in a fight?
Right.
Like, not to shit on Mustafa Ali. Like he's an incredible athlete. He's an amazing wrestler, but like he doesn't, I mean, it's just this whole era. It's not him specifically, but I'm saying like any example, you know, do you say that about the Young Bucks? Do you think the Young Bucks could beat you in a fight? Like,
I don't think they can. I mean, I'm almost 50-year-old man with beat up with a wife worn out on me too. So yeah.
Like, dude, like I've been watching that reality show that they're doing, and they seem like such drama queens. Like I don't know if they're like playing it up for this camera, but like
probably.
They're probably doing that. Like, but they're like, oh, our reputation's ruined because of the CM Punk thing. Like, no, your reputation is exactly what it is, you dingbat. Maybe it's a little too. Maybe it needs to come down a little bit.
Well, the show's not helping their reputation. So.
Right.
But no, cool. Okay, so all right, we're gonna be back here next week for the Sunday Stew Pot. We're gonna talk about two movies that I gotta see: Blockers. You gotta see Fargo. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what's going on in the week, and we could talk about wrestling, rats, and anything else that tickles your fancy there, Corey. But before I go, I have one last question for you. Now, it just popped in my head. I never asked you this. How did you come up with the name Corey Castle?
When me and my friend Scott were going to get into wrestling, mm-hmm. it was like the 90s, like the late 90s.
It's a great name. It's a great name, by the way. So I like the name.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Right in the 90s, it was the end of the 90s. Boy bands were everywhere.
And yeah, like Insane, Boys to Men, right. Yeah. So Backstreet Boys, yeah.
We came up with these gimmick names. Like, we were going to act like our gimmick was going to be that, like, we put out these pictures saying that we were this incredible boy band, but we never put out any music. We just like show these pictures, and we got a lot of pre-sales. We made a whole bunch of these people's money, and we like ripped them off and never delivered their music. That was going to be our gimmick. We were going to be called the Abercrombie Boys. And I never shot at Abercrombie. I've never had Abercrombie clothes, but his name was Richie Gongoletti, and I wanted my name to be like George Carlin in Bill and Ted. He was called Rufus.
Yeah.
I wanted my name to be Rufus and the last name to be Castle, like from The Punisher. I was, I took it off of when I was at Scott's house. He had a Wizard magazine on his coffee table, and he was like, "What do you use Castle like from Punisher?" And I was like, "Well, yeah. I mean, I do love the way in the Dolph Lundgren movie when he was playing Punisher. I love the way it sounded." I love the way it sounded when they talked about him when he wasn't there. Like, they were like, "Oh, that asshole Castle." Like, they would be like, "Oh, piece of shit. Where's Castle at?" Ah. Like, that always was interesting to me. And it felt like I could make that, make people feel that same way. Like, be a hateable character if I wanted to be one. So it felt like a good name for that. And then, you know, a couple of years later, it was probably four or five years later, when I was actually getting a match and I had to pick a name, and I then decided that I wanted my character now to be like a male model, like Derek Zoolander. Like, I wanted to do like a Zoolander male model gimmick.
So it evolved.
Like, so I wanted to act like I was
fun. Yeah.
Right. I wanted to act like I was an idiot male role model, like a male model, like Zoolander, like Ben Stiller's character in that movie, and have all my moves be called different moves from that movie. So I had I had Blue Steel, I had La Tigra, I had Magnum. All so stupid, but I figured all I wanted to do was I wanted my initials to be CK so that I could put CK on the side of my pants. I went in my head, like, what C name sounds best with Castle? And I'll just change the C to a K, so it'll say CK. I landed on Corey.
I'll tell you what, the best compliment I got about my name, the Beef Stew, was from Mick Foley. He liked it. He said, "You know what? He's like, you never forget it." And I was like, "Yeah, dude, Pro Wrestling Illustrated shit on it. I don't know if you knew about that." No, I think that was 96, and we used that to turn me heel in Pittsburgh. It was great. Mm-hmm. And I cut promos on people. It was great because people were making fun of me for it. I didn't care. But the coolest thing, I think it was 2007 when I met Bruno San Martino in Pennsylvania, and I introduced myself as Lou Marconi. And he went, he's like, Lou Marconi, Lou Marconi, that's a great name. Lou Marconi, that's great. I was like, well, sir, it's my real name. He's like, that's even better. And he like hugged me. And I was like, oh my God, it's fucking Bruno Sammartino. You know, it was just, oh my God, this guy, I can't believe this. And I told my dad about that. He smiled. He laughed. I said, he's like, yeah, because his Italian name, but full name's Louis Angelo Marconi. So
no, that's Italian as hell.
That's very, dude. Well, it's my grandfather's name. Yeah. So
I thought, I was out in my garage just right before I came up here to record this with you. And I was going through stuff because I was trying to like take pictures of stuff and try to sell things. Yeah. And one of the things I found was an autograph from Bruno Sammartino.
Oh, that's
my
cool.
My friend Paul was with me and I was like, do you know who that is? And he couldn't read it. And he's like, no, he was like, I have no idea. He's like, whatever it is, he's got sloppy handwriting. And then he started guessing like people in the NWO. And I was like, way back. Think Madison Square Garden, 7 years as the champion. And he was like,
Bro,
man,
Bruno.
That's sloppy. That's sloppy.
Living legend, Bruno Sammartino. Yeah. What a God. He was a good guy. He was a good dude. His son, David, you know, I could. He's not all together, but he's a nice guy and all, but it's just the match didn't go well. I'll just say that. I'm just like, what are you doing? So, but anyway, I had a lot of respect for his father and,
right. Not everybody's for everybody all the time. Like it's okay. If our styles aren't the same, like I need to be me so that you can be you and you got to be you so that I can be me. And sometimes we're not going to have the best chemistry together. Like sometimes as opponents in the ring, sometimes as like just knowing somebody in real life or just interacting with people or like
it doesn't always gel
in the Facebook comments, like you were just reading, like sometimes we're not for each other. Like if somebody were to jump into my comments on my stuff like that, and you're reading it to me and you're like, and then they're like this, and then I'm like this, and then I do that. The second that somebody says something that is like, it's like, I know I'm not going to change this person's mind. I automatically just block them. I don't even need that.
I might just, the last thing I have to say is that, so I want to make sure I understand you correctly. Do you support children at drag shows? Just ask that question and see what she says. Are you okay with children being at drag shows?
I don't think it's important enough for you to even care about her answer.
No, we're friends. We're neighbors. Her daughter babysits my daughter. I might ask that question. I mean, but that's the thing. It's like what Matt Walsh. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But when you're reading it, you're not reading it with the actual person wanting to know it. It might sound like a accusatory way. Or like maybe a confrontational way. All I want to know is, do you support? You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand that you're kind of curious about that. But like, if the person isn't going to understand anything you're talking about anyway, why do you care?
Well, I want to understand them. I want to make sure I understand you. when I ask it that way, but
not everybody's for everybody all the time.
That's true. Well, actually, when they were debating a law in Tennessee about banning gender transition surgeries on minors in Tennessee, and Matt Walsh was there because he lives in Nashville. He's a Daily Wire guy, and they were trying to ask him questions about this and that, and he just said, "Hey, you know, you can argue whether this is the right thing to do if somebody's an adult, but." Should this be right for children? Do you support this being done to children? And the politicians kind of leaned back. They murmured with each other and he goes, we'll ask the questions here. I mean, it was just like, whoa, you know, they felt attacked, but he just called them out on the carpet on it. So, and yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, you know, I like your advice on that. And that's true. I mean, I could, you know, but at the same time, me posting what my beliefs are and you not agreeing with, it's fine. Do you always have to say something? Do you always have to get involved? You know,
mute them. People that I love will say some ignorant shit. Sometimes I have to go, look, I forgive you before you even have to apologize.
Oh, but this isn't confrontational.
Our relationship isn't this. So I've got to mute you. I've got to just distance myself from you. I have to get you out of my bubble. My vibration is higher than arguing with people who just want to argue for no reason.
Yeah, they just like to do it. That's like they get their jollies off. Right. I don't know.
Like, you're probably not the only person this person's arguing with.
Oh, hell no.
You know
no.
what I'm saying? So
no, I don't, and I got time for that crap. So
I and don't you know what? At all.
And I want to leave this with people too. Sorry. You're right. No, you're right. You're right. We don't have time for that. We really don't.
No, having, life's too short.
Having discussions is one thing, but going on an endless argument and rants with somebody that you're not going to change their mind. I've got caught up in that before too, many times.
Right.
You know, I made my point and I said, children don't belong in a drag show. And if you're an adult and you want to go to these things, you find them entertaining. Hey, that's your cup of tea. That's fine. I'm not judging you. You're an adult. Do what you want. Like, just like when there's grown men that go to watch women dance at strip clubs, they like it. They do it. They pay for it, but they're grown men. They're adults. And these girls are adults that are doing it. These women, I should say, are adults that are doing that. You know, the fact that they do it, is it degrading to them? If they don't feel degraded, is it? I don't know. Is it, you know, is it bad for women? You could say, yeah, you know, you could. I mean, you can make that argument, that discussion, but, you know, is it degrading for a man to dress up like a woman and dance in a drag show? You know, why does a child have to be at this thing? That's the thing I don't understand. Why are people defending and they're using ad hominem arguments comparing priests and teachers and relatives of kids? Yeah. There's bad people out there. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make this right. You know, it doesn't.
It is making a child vulnerable to something that you know, maybe something.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this, and I don't want it to sound like it's a mean thing, but right. Like you got into wrestling because of the attention, and you continued to get attention like that was like we have a validate me hole in us. Attention seekers have a hole in us, the look at me hole that needs to be filled.
Everybody has that. That's correct.
And that comes from some sort of damage that you have.
Right.
Okay. And they say damage people. If you're trying to break that cycle by confusing the shit out of children, that you're just continuing a cycle.
Right.
Like, because understand, I'm coming from somebody who was made to understand some stuff at a young age, and I adapted to it because I have a great mother, but not everybody's a great mother.
Yeah, well these, yeah, and I don't think this is just me speculating at this point. I don't think your mom took you to drag shows at a young age. No, she wouldn't have done it. No. And one guy, Dave Rubin, made a point about a movie, a 1996 movie. I think we talked about this, The Birdcage.
Birdcage, I love that movie. We watched the movie.
There was a drag show in the movie. They had a gay club in Miami. It was a drag show. But you know what you didn't see there? Children.
Children, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been absurd in 96.
It was a bar.
Yeah, it was a bar for kids. Why are you doing this? That's right. The thing I can't. I was like, why? That's the thing. They're not answering the question of why is this being done, because they're saying, well, there's groomers and there's predators everywhere. So you might as well just put them in front of grown men in dresses, shaking their junk in their face. I don't get that. I don't understand it. Right. I don't see the logic to it. So
it's not the unwillingness to understand that a show must go on. Speaking from somebody who's a showman, like somebody who, dude, drag queens. I watched Drag Race. Drag queens and pro wrestlers are the exact same, dude. Like we're there's the same drama. There's the same, like we really overly analyze what we're gonna wear and what moves we're gonna do. It's the same shit. Except
we get a pump before we go out there. We try to look our best.
Right.
Yeah. Get the chick pop. Yeah. Get the chick pop. The rat pop. Yep.
Right.
Well, okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's we're performers. They're performers.
I get it. I get it. But you know who's also coming to those things? Creeps who are going to creep on those kids. Like, you're opening those kids up. So while you're trying to break a cycle, you're not breaking the cycle you're trying to break, because right. you're keeping them vulnerable to the creeps who might do creepy things.
And in the summary, in this hour and a half that we've talked, the, you know, opening up the kids to this environment's bad. Inviting a group of people to a Major League Baseball game that openly mock religion is bad. Backing children's clothing with satanic symbols and pride stuff is not a good idea. It's just not a good idea. It's bad. The satanic symbols and having a trans grifter endorse your beer, that's a blue collar, middle class type of working class type of product, wasn't a good idea either. Not, you know, just saying it, you know, hey, we're not saying like the what this movement, the social movement or political movement you want to call it, is a bad thing, but I think they cross lines in each of these instances, and that's just what we got to just, hey, you know what, when you cross that line, take it, tone it back, and that's it. And don't, yeah. That's, I think the whole point is that we have great discussions every time we talk, and yeah. we've been on for an hour and a half, and I don't like to go over that time, because I don't think anybody's going to listen to the whole thing if they have the time.
Who cares, man? This is for us. Let them let them leave if they want to leave. We're in the middle of chatting. We're buds.
Yeah. Yeah. But Corey, I had a blast this week. So we're okay. Yeah. I have to watch the movie Blockers. You have to watch Fargo. We could talk about that, and we can see what other crazy bullshit's going to happen in the news, because we're going to be the next time. Yeah. The following week is going to be the beginning of Pride Month. And mm-hmm. we could even talk about, we could talk, you know, it might be another interesting topic if people want to tune in next week. I just popped in my head. There's a movie. You can see this instead. Have you seen the movie Seven?
Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Well, yeah, the deadly Seven. Sins. Yeah. We could talk about the deadly sin of pride. We could talk about that. Pride is a deadly sin. That's a good topic.
Anybody who's too like, ah, yeah, I'm proud of what I am, it shows me a lack of like growth. It shows me a lack of like, it shows me a lack of wanting to be better than what you are. Like you.
That's why humility should be chosen over pride. You want to get mm-hmm. better. Yep.
I just want to say one last thing, Lou.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. You're my brother.
We're both in this wrestling thing for a very long time.
Too long.
I know. and I'm still in it. And it's funny because like people will be like, oh man, didn't you used to be a wrestler? And I'm like, no, I'm still a wrestler. I still do that. I still do it. And the funny thing is, it's about 24 years I've been doing this. So I've met a lot of people in this wrestling business. And, if you know anybody who knows me, you'll rarely ever hear them say they've got a problem or they know anybody who's got a problem with me. And the few people that have a problem with me in the wrestling business have problems with everybody. That's just what they do. So,
yeah, I'm not the only reason you have heat.
right. So, like, whatever problems you have with me, you probably also have that same problem with 19 other people. Like, mm-hmm. and it's not serving me to worry about making you understand my point of view, because you're gonna have problems already anyway. Keep your mess out of my life. I'm fine. Like I'm fine with it. If you want to go have problems with everybody, continue to go have problems with everybody, but stay out of my life, dude. Like, we don't have to be on the same shows.
We don't have to work together. We're fine.
Right. Yeah. I'm totally, dude, the world's a very big place. We can do things other places besides where we have been going the whole time.
Right.
If we're having a problem with somebody, but like nobody who's worked with me in the last, I'm going to say at least the last 4 or 5 years could say that they've got any problem with anything I've ever done. I don't have a reputation for like taking advantage of people. I teach people how to like work. Like I feel like what I show folks to do who get in there and work with me, I show them how to be over. I call my matches in a particular way to teach you how to be over. And I want you to be over because if you're not over, I'm not over. We're and doing when you're this over, together. I'm over.
Yeah. Right. We get the match over. We get over, get the pop. It's us.
So right. This is going to make you a better worker now. So we'll all understand this together so that when you're calling your next match with your next opponent next weekend or tomorrow, you're going to be like, oh, let's do that thing that I did last night with Corey. Let's do that thing that I did last Saturday with Corey when we did that. Like it will like help you like maybe use the methods that I've got to help you remember stuff a little bit better or help you understand why we're doing this and the psychology of it. I make sure to do that to anyone who I'm ever in any match with. And I always go, hey, let's look at what's before us and let's look what's after us. Let's be different than both of those things, right. Because this is a side. This is a whole show. This is a whole entire show. So the people who are coming here, they're paying us their money. They're making the effort to come here. Let's give them variety. Let's give them something. Let's give them some. Let's not give them two somethings that are the same in a row.
Yep, I agree. I agree, and I hope everybody out there listens to this and understands that if you're in wrestling and you're just getting started out, I hope you heard that. Mm-hmm. It's about we're here to put each other over. We're here to work together. There's some people that don't understand that, and they never will, and they'll never get it, and that's fine. That's just who they are, and you see how far they go versus the ones that work with other ones well. Because there was a guy, I mean, just – you know, I could tell the story. I'll tell the story next week. Or you can remind me. There was a guy in Ohio that was a complete prick. And after a while, he just quit getting work and nobody would talk to him because they just got tired of dealing with this shit. They got tired of dealing with it. He was a little asshole is what he was. He was a good enough worker where he could be in the ring with somebody and make them look pretty good, but he wasn't a main event guy and he wasn't a top guy. He was a guy that could help your top guys sell tickets. He can make them look good. And he didn't like that. In his mind, he should have been main event. He was the best in the world. He was this, he was that, when he wasn't. And he was jealous of that jealousy, you know, envy, that deadly sin of envy can get you. That's what it is. A lot of it's ego and envy. And the two, you know, I'm surprised ego isn't a deadly sin, but well, you could say part of that, what pride could be ego. Yeah. But go ahead.
Wayne Dwyer, do you know who that is? He was like a motivational speaker in the 80s and 90s. He had a saying where he would say that you think you know better, but you're edging God out. Like that was what he would say, ego, edging God out. And there you go. Say, oh, that's who you think you're holier than thou. You think that you know better than me and him and her and him and her and him and God. You're edging God out of your life with that ego.
That's another thing people have to realize when you have God in your life and you have an understanding that you are exactly where you're supposed to be, where you're at, doing what you're doing. And you have guidance. You have signs all around you. Once you listen, you hear. You hear, you listen, and you pay attention, it'll come to you. Because a lot of times, that's why a lot of people, when they go to psychics, they already know the answer, and they just go to a psychic until they hear what they want to hear. It's interesting how people do that. Mm-hmm. But on that note, yeah, we're gonna reconvene next week, and it'll be the first week end of the month of June. And we'll be talking about pride. So we'll do that. We're going to talk about the deadly sin of pride, ego, edging God out. We could pick this conversation up from there and anything else that's going to come up in the news we could talk about. Any ideas you have, man, just shoot it my way. Everybody, did you get any dick pics, by the way?
No, No.
Disappointing. Neither did I. No dick pics, but my Twitter hand, my Twitter handle, that my, that's not my, my Twitter handle is at El Marconi 1973. Now at El Marconi 251 is my Instagram, at Corey Castle, capital C, capital K is for Corey.
Thank you. E in Corey.
There's no E in Corey. No, it's C-O-R-Y. Thank you. People listening to this, thank you. And, you know, you don't have to agree. You don't have to like. But we're glad that you joined us. We're glad that you listened to us. And we're glad that you're here. God bless you. Have a good night.
Thanks for your time and your
Dude, please like it. Please share it. Please subscribe.
Before I ask any of these people who may or may not hear this, any questions about what to do favor wise for like likes and subscribes and all that stuff, I want to thank you, man. Like I had a good time here on this, and I think we have a good show, man. And if you know, if people catch on to it, like good for them, man. I'm excited. I want to do the kind of things that I'd want to hear, or the kind of wrestling matches I'd pay to see is the kind of matches I want to have. The kind of comedy I want to do is the kind of comedy I'd want to hear.
I'm going to start doing is printing out articles and news stories of anything I want to talk about. So I have the receipts right the here physical, in front of me.
Yeah.
The physical. So I said, I can't remember the name of this manufacturer from the Target store who did designer of these kids clothes that did this, but yeah. And I figured I could pull up Google and have it here, but you know, there's a lot of ways to do it. And
it's a learning curve, man. It's ever evolving. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be, there's going to be show notes for you at the end of every show in your own head. Like, oh, what, you know, and we should have done this.
We could talk about pride, and I could talk about messages I do get on Twitter from women that are like models, and you don't really, their phones and their faces on their profile picture. It's like, yeah, you're real. Thank you. Okay. Are you married? When my profile pictures me, my wife, and my daughters. Yeah, I am married. Thank you. So it's just that. But people, please, we love you. Thank you. And you guys have a wonderful week. We will see you next week. We will be here. Thank you.
Don't complain about a free lunch. Jesus and I love you. Be fun. Have safe.
Have you safe.